You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Extraction of oil from the Alberta tar sands is a project of monstrous and devastating proportions. The scheme is matched in scale by the staggering wealth of the corporations involved. So what will it take to delay, divert, and ultimately block it? Undoubtedly, the struggle will be protracted, and pressure will have to be continuously applied to vulnerable points of the project. To help us understand this, we have contacted Clayton Thomas Mueller in Ottawa. He is the Tar Sands campaigner for the Indigenous Environmental Network. Welcome, Clayton, to Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So on November 10th, the Obama administration announced it would wait until after the 2012 presidential election to make a decision on the Keystone XL pipeline, which, of course, will be moving oil from the Alberta tar sands across the U.S. Down to Texas. And it was stopped in large part by the huge protests across the United States. How did you react to Obama's decision?
Well, I think that, you know, what the decision represented was the power of grassroots organizing and convergence among social movements. Here we have the most powerful, military empire on the planet responding to grassroots pressure over its energy policy. So it was a small victory in the ongoing struggle to end the tyranny of oil, to quote President Obama in his last election. His objective and platform was to free America from its oil addiction, to end the tyranny of oil. And I think this delay, you know, was very much driven by politics, was very much driven by the fact that Obama and his strategists were being, you know, signaled that their base was very much going to revolt against an approval. And this being 12 months before the U.S. elections, he made the decision to delay. He made the decision to delay the decision on whether or not the pipeline would get permitted. And so, you know, here we are today with a lot of work left, though. The fight is not over. TransCanada Pipeline is doing everything they can to try and, keep this pipeline alive. And so we've got a lot of work left to do yet.
How taken aback do you think Obama was by the scale of the resistance to the project?
Well, I think that, again, it's a sign of the times. You know, we live in a world where, you know, we're faced with the end of the era of cheap energy, catastrophic climate change, and the loss of natural capital to sustain this absolutely absurd economic paradigm that currently governs our politics and our society. And so I think that, you know, Obama had to have expected, some concern about his ongoing business-as-usual policies related to fossil fuel. And, you know, I think there was definitely probably an element of surprise in there as well. But, here we are today with the delay, another 13 to 18 month delay. And so regardless of how he reacted to it, we are having some progress.
Now, part of the strategy to fight the tar sands and the pipeline is to find sort of choke points and to apply pressure at them. Can you explain that a little bit to us?
Yeah, for sure. The campaign for the last 5 years has been focused on identifying, you know, what are the strategic points that could slow down tar sands expansion and lead to the eventual shutdown of the tar sands development. And the Keystone XL pipeline, the Enbridge Gateway pipeline, the Kinder Morgan Trans Mountain pipeline in the central interior of British Columbia, the Mackenzie Valley Gas Project, the tanker ban fight in the coast of British Columbia, all of these, and Trailbreaker, of course, out here in the east, from Superior, Wisconsin, to Montreal, to Maine, Portland, all of these infrastructure points are key intervention points in a long-term fight to shut down the tar sands. You know, big oil is trying to hardwire in their agenda, an outdated energy source the dirtiest energy source on the planet into our economy for the next century by building these pipelines. And if we allow them to be built, you know, essentially they'll succeed in locking us in to an energy policy that's dependent on the dirtiest, most destructive form of fossil fuel that exists on the planet today. And we're going to do everything we can to stop that.
And presumably these tactics are costing corporations quite a bit of money. Is there any evidence that that they are concerned about the types of tactics you're using?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, if you look at the press conference yesterday that Shell Canada and Canadian Natural Resources Limited had, you know, they came out swinging against the federal government over the upcoming National Energy Board release of the Joint Review Panel findings on the Enbridge Gateway Pipeline. You know, they're very concerned about the precedence that has been established by the Keystone victory. Big Oil is freaking out in the tar sands patch, and they want the government, who's predominantly sitting in their back pocket under the leadership of the Harper Majority Conservatives, and, you know, they're looking to change the environmental impact assessment process on Gateway, because they know that over 4,000 citizens lined up to give comment during the comment period starting this January is a show of the force of resistance that Enbridge is facing. And so Big Oil is very concerned because they need a way to transport this oil to markets. You know, they want to get it to Asia. They want to get it to the United States. They want to get it to Europe. And they're doing everything they can and using every dirty tactic in the book to try and, you know, get the public to give them the social license to continue to operate as business as usual. And they're losing the PR war.
So in terms of the next steps, then, where are the next areas to apply pressure on these corporations?
Absolutely, the next pressure point. Well, there's multiple pressure points. I mean, there's the fight in Europe happening right now over the Fuel Quality Directive legislation, which essentially bans tar sands in the European market, and this piece of legislation, you know, gives a different administrative qualification to the CO2 content of dirty tar sands fuel versus other conventional oil sources, which is an important battle that goes to vote this December. Of course, in British Columbia, the tanker fight, the Enbridge Gateway pipeline fight, and all the other pipeline fights that are going on in northern BC, being led by groups like the Wet'suwet'en Inistotin clan, who kicked out Pacific Natural Gas pipelines out of their territory last week. All applause to them. You know, and other groups like the Yinka Dene Alliance and the Coastal First Nation Alliance are all focusing their efforts on January and the upcoming joint review panel release on the Enbridge Gateway pipeline. Things to watch out for are the Kinder Morgan pipeline fight in BC. They want to double the capacity of the Trans Mountain pipeline, which is already pumping 300,000 barrels per day of tar sands to the United States via Burrard Inlet. And then we here in the East, we have to be concerned about the proposal for the Trailbreaker pipeline, which would link existing pipeline infrastructures to the East Coast via a pipeline reversal plan that Enbridge is trying to push forward over here. There's great grassroots resistance, though, here in the East against that project. They don't want that dirty oil going through their lands. And so there's a lot of different fights that are coming up. And, of course, right in the tar sands, there's all kinds of issues with the Alberta government's land use legislation that they're instating in that province, that has all kinds of implications on the sovereignty and treaty rights of First Nations peoples living in and around the tar sands region and using that land the way they have for time immemorial.
What about the Canadian government? How do you think we should be pressuring the government?
You know, I think that this government doesn't give a rat's ass what people think, you know, to be quite blunt. This government is in the back pocket of Big Oil. They're doing everything they can to, you know, drive an environment that supports tar sands expansion, that supports the ongoing marketing of this dirty fuel all across the planet. We need to, you know, continue to, you know, utilize tactics that stop the machine. Nonviolence, civil disobedience, community organizing campaigns, community education and outreach with the utilization of popular education materials. We need to facilitate an environment in Canada's activist community that brings about convergence amongst the different social movements, labor, student movements, indigenous rights movements, because that's what it's going to take to stop the tar sands. You know, right now, there are thousands of Canadians and Americans and activists from all across the planet, from the climate justice movement, that are converging on Durban for the World Summit on Climate Change, and they're all there to fight against Canada's attempts to block any kind of progressive climate treaty, post-Kyoto climate treaty. And so we got to continue to hit them from the local level, from the international level, and everywhere in between to dispel the propaganda machine that the Harper government has set up with big oil.
Well, thank you very much for talking with us this morning, Clayton.
Thank you so much for having me.
My guest has been Clayton Thomas Mueller in Ottawa. He is tar sands campaigner for the Indigenous Environmental Network.